Welcome to the HDFN edition of Rare Disease Advisors Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the HDFN community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the International Society for Ultrasound and Obstetrics and Gynecology's 2025 conference in Cancun, Mexico, and our guest today is Meili Choa of Johnson & Johnson Innovative Medicine. Dr. Choa is Senior Global Medical Affairs Leader for Johnson & Johnson's Nipocalimab and Maternal Fetal Immunology Division. We're here to talk about hemolytic disease of the fetus and newborn, also known as HDFN, and known in the past as rhesus disease. Thank you so much for joining me here in Cancun. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Larry, for having me.
Let's start out by telling us a bit about your background as a scientist and how you came to this field and this particular disease.
So I studied molecular biology at the University of Leiden, which is where I'm originally from. And then I followed that up with a PhD in reproductive medicine, studying prognostic markers for preeclampsia and fetal growth restriction. And I did this in Amsterdam. After that, I moved to Boston, where I pursued a postdoctoral fellowship, starting in Diana Bianchi's laboratory at Tufts University, followed by a postdoctoral fellowship in Dr. Caramanchi's lab at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. After I left academia, I joined in the pharmaceutical industry as a medical science liaison. Since then, I have worked across various disciplines in women's health, including infertility, contraception, menopause, preeclampsia, and preterm birth.
Okay, and so how long have you been with Johnson & Johnson?
So I've been with Johnson & Johnson since 2020. I originally joined Momenta Pharmaceuticals as a medical affairs director. And in 2021, after the acquisition of Momenta, I stayed on at J&J as a global medical affairs lead for the maternal fetal immunology program.
Okay, and it was at Momenta where you started the phase two trial in HDFN, right?
Correct. Momenta started a phase two trial for HDFN. This trial is also known as the UNITY study. This trial has since completed, and we have initiated a phase three placebo-controlled randomized trial called Azalea.
Okay, and this is to study the efficacy and safety of nipocalimab for treatment of pregnancies at risk for severe HDFN.
Yes. So this trial is focused indeed on the safety and efficacy of nipocalimab for the treatment of pregnant women who are at a high risk for severe HDFN. These are women who have had a pregnancy in the past affected by severe HDFN and who are now pregnant again.
Okay, so this disease, as we understand, is largely preventable, and the incidence of the disease has declined dramatically, at least in the developed world, but yet it persists in many other countries, right?
Yes, that's true. So rhesus D, which is the most common antigen that causes or may cause hemolytic disease of the fetus or newborn, or HDFN, can lead to alloimmunization during pregnancy. So if you are a rhesus D negative woman and you are now positive with a rhesus D positive baby, you will be eligible to receive rhesus immunoglobulin, also known as Rogam in the US.
Right. And this is to clarify, we're talking about women who are RHD negative when the biological father is RHD positive.
Yes, correct. So this means that there may be an antigen mismatch between the mother's red blood cells and the baby's red blood cells. I do want to note that rhesus D is the most common antigen that can lead to HDFN in the baby, but there are multiple other antigens that can also cause HDFN. So these include rhesus C, rhesus little c, rhesus E, and KEL.
Right, you said there are at least 50 antigens that can cause alloimmunization during pregnancy.
Yes, there are at least 50, but rhesus D is the most common one, and the most severe forms of HDFN are usually due to either alloimmunization against rhesus D or against KEL.
When in the pregnancy is Rogam generally given?
It is generally given to D-negative women who are pregnant with a D-positive baby right around the end of the second trimester, early third trimester, followed by a second injection after delivery.
And some women who are treated can still become alloimmunized.
Yes, unfortunately, not all women receive both doses, so this can lead to alloimmunization. It's also possible that women become alloimmunized despite being treated properly, so they may have received both doses and still become alloimmunized.
So if a woman has not had a prior pregnancy, is there no way to detect this?
So during early pregnancy, women should receive an antibody screen, and this screen will indicate whether or not there are antibodies present that may lead to alloimmunization and HDFN in the baby. If a screen shows that there are antibodies, then further investigation will be done to determine which alloantibodies are present in the pregnant woman.
Okay, so I think we'd like to talk about your therapy, nipocalimab, what it does and why is it important in treating HDFN?
So nipocalimab is an antibody believed to bind to FcRn, which is the receptor that is responsible for maintaining stable IgG levels in the circulation. It is also the receptor that is responsible for transferring maternal IgG from the mother's circulation to the baby's circulation during pregnancy.
Okay. In the United States, we understand that up to 80 out of every 100,000 pregnancies is affected by HDFN.
Yes, that is the current estimate.
Okay. And but the number of women who actually develop the disease during pregnancy is smaller than that, right?
Yes. There are, we think, about between 3 and 80 out of every 100,000 pregnancies is affected by HDFN. But this is only a small proportion of all of the pregnancies that may be alloimmunized.
Okay. Let's talk just a bit about the Azalea trial and how many patients you're enrolling and where the sites are.
Sure. So Azalea is a phase 3 global placebo-controlled randomized trial that is being conducted in over 20 countries at 62 sites.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nipocalimab is already approved for generalized myasthenia gravis.
Yes, the FDA approved nipocalimab earlier this year for generalized myasthenia gravis, and it has also just been approved in Brazil for the same indication.
Okay. So here at this conference in Cancun, Johnson & Johnson is talking about not only HDFN, but also potential for nipocalimab to treat FNAIT.
Yes, FNAIT stands for fetal and neonatal alloimmune thrombocytopenia. So this is an alloimmune condition of pregnancy that is similar to HDFN. In the case of HDFN, the mother has developed antibodies against fetal red blood cells because there is a mismatch in the antigen status of the red blood cells between the mother and baby. In the case of FNAIT, the alloantibodies are directed against fetal platelets. So it's a similar mechanism of disease in which the alloantibodies cross the placenta. But in the case of FNAIT, these alloantibodies target fetal platelets, not fetal red blood cells.
And there's, again, a mismatch between the mother and the fetus.
Yes. So there is a mismatch in the human platelet antigen. So this is because the father may be HPA 1A positive and the mother is HPA 1A negative. So there will be a mismatch, potential mismatch in the baby.
And what are the consequences of this disease if not treated?
So FNAIT can lead to fetal thrombocytopenia. In the most severe cases, the babies may be affected by an intracranial hemorrhage or ICH, and this is a severe brain bleed. But babies who are thrombocytopenic may also have other bleeds, for example, in the gastrointestinal tract, or they may develop petechiae.
So what is nipocalimab's potential in treating it?
So currently, we are also investigating the safety and efficacy of nipocalimab in the treatment of pregnant women who are at high risk for FNAIT. And these are women who, again, also have a history of FNAIT in a previous pregnancy. We believe that nipocalimab can block FcRn in the placenta, preventing the transfer of those alloantibodies directed against fetal platelets. We hope to see that the outcomes of these individuals will be improved so that there will be fewer cases of FNAIT in the babies born to women who are treated with nipocalimab in the trial.
Just a question, are there any adverse effects to nipocalimab?
So the preliminary data from our UNITY phase 2 study indicates that nipocalimab has an acceptable safety profile in pregnant individuals who were treated during their pregnancy and also in the babies who were born to those study participants.
Okay. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
So I would just like to bring us back to the unmet needs for HDFN and FNAIT. So these are two rare but potentially life-threatening conditions of pregnancy. And we are dedicated to trying to bring novel treatments for these high-risk pregnant individuals to the, you know, to be able to improve the outcomes of their pregnancies and also improve the outcomes of the babies that are born.
Thank you. We've been talking with Dr. Mei-Li Choa of Johnson & Johnson Innovative Medicine at the International Society for Ultrasound in Obstetrics and Gynecology's 2025 conference here in Cancun, Mexico. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.